Well, hello everyone. I promised that I would keep on following this, the hottest feud of the autumn, of the fall. It's Survivor Series season, ladies and gentlemen. And it's the feud of the year. Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes against Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro. And it continues to escalate. Recently, I've been covering a lot of the Tucker Carlson side. A lot of you have written in and said, what about Nick? Hey, you're glazing on Tucker, but what about Nick, Daddy? I wanna know about my hero. So let us focus on Fuentes today, because he cut a phenomenal promo on Ben Shapiro. And one of the things, before we get into this, I love the dynamics, right? I love the pro wrestling dynamics of this feud. There are all sorts of hidden aspects of the psychology of it that I love. Like, for example, Tucker Carlson is the older, more experienced hand, okay? He's going for this measured, you know, he's going to be the elder statesman in the room. All of these kind of Christian universalist arguments. He comes across, like I said, last time he put on an absolute clinic. A scientific pro wrestling clinic is what he, you know, all of the fancy mat work and the suplexes and so on. And Nick, on the other hand, he is a brawler. He is, you know, he's full of fire. Yes, he can do the technical stuff as well, but he comes in hot. And it reminds me a little bit of the dynamic that existed between Terry Funk and his older brother, Dory Funk Jr., the Funk brothers, who were a legendary tag team in wrestling. And they had this kind of ice and fire dynamic where Dory was quieter, he was more scientific, you could say. Terry came in hot. And I like the way that is playing out. I also, as I said before, I like the mentor, you know, the old guy, the old hand, young up-and-comer dynamic of that side. And then over on the heel side with Shapiro and Levin, you've got a classic kind of, Levin is a brute. He's a bruiser and a brute. No flair, no, you know, he's like the warlord or the barbarian or something like that. Whereas Shapiro is your classic weasel, chicken shit heel, like Honky Tonk Man or something like this. An absolute sniveling weasel, you know, hiding behind the big guy. I love it. I love the dynamics of it all. But I'm going to break down Nick's latest against Shapiro. Lots of serious points made. Recently, I've been talking about sensible center-left. And oddly, some of the points raised by Nick go in that direction, as some of the points that Tucker Carlson has made, especially when he talked to Anna Kasparian against, you know, the untrammeled market, you know, government doing things for people. Some of the Carlisle stuff I talked about against nomadism and so on. It's all there. And so a lot of really serious topics covered by Nick. But before we get going, I'll just remind everyone, pick up Applied Elite Theory course at the Academic Agency, Trivium. Christmas is coming up. Get it for your stockings. Buy it now. But let's not waste any more time. Now, due to the nature, the varying different natures of Tucker and Nick, I'm going to have to play a few longer clips today, because sometimes you need to get the whole thing, right? The way that Nick works a promo, the way he works the mic, you could say, he takes a little bit of time to warm up and build momentum. When he gets into the swing, right, he builds layer upon layer in his various attacks. So in terms of the rhetorical style, I think this is straight fire from Fuentes. But let's go through the first point then. So the first of the 10 points that he makes is hypocrisy on personal responsibility and mobility. Let's play the clip and then I'll break it down a little bit.
So let me get this straight. If you're in America, born in America, you're an American citizen, and you're born in New York City or Chicago, the place where your ancestors lived, If you can't afford to live there, you can't afford housing or transportation or cost of living, you got to get lost then. But if you're a Jew and you live in Israel and you have missiles flying at you, well, then the solution is America has to go and bail you out? In other words, the American taxpayer has no obligation to bail out the American people. The American government has no obligation to the American people. Americans are not entitled to live in America. But Israel is entitled to all of that. If you're an American and it's not comfortable for you in New York, hey man, get lost. Don't expect the American government to help you. But if you're a Jew in Israel and you're in trouble, well, then America has to send you missiles and fight your wars and give you money. Really? Israel's healthcare is paid by America. Israel's defense is paid for by America. Israel's existence in the Middle East is guaranteed by America. The land, quite literally, was promised to them, and we are the guarantors of the promise. But Americans are not guaranteed their own country. Americans are not guaranteed their own city, their own town, by their government. Really? This is the problem. This is what we're talking about. This is why we are not happy with the arrangement.
So the point here is perfectly straightforward. To Americans, Shapiro denies welfare for his own, for beloved Israel, all the welfare. And lots of people have picked up on this double standard before. I actually watched a clip recently where Shapiro was arguing against this black dude against the notion of reparations. And the guy said, well, what about the reparations that the Holocaust reparations? Oh, well, that was different. Special pleading again. I know pointing out hypocrisy, right, is a kind of level zero move, but sometimes the hypocrisy is so glaring that you have to point it out again and again and again. Next point is on foreign loyalty, where Fuentes actually talks about Ben's personal relationships, his wife, and where he's chosen to live. Now, if you think this is not relevant, if you think this is just kind of personal, it is relevant. Because recently, Shapiro went on Trigonometry and said that Nick doesn't even deserve, none of his commentary dignifies any logical comeback because it's just kind of, you know, it's just drivel, it's just hate and all that. And what he was talking about was J.D. The attack that Nick made on J.D. Vance for marrying an Indian woman. But if that doesn't require a logical response, then why did you, Ben, marry somebody from Israel as opposed to marrying an American? Anyway, let's play the clip of Ben on Trigonometry, then the clip of Fuentes, and then we'll come back, okay?
Ben Shapiro is a guest here. He's a child of immigrants, recent immigrants. He married an Israeli. Do you know that about Ben Shapiro? Do you know that his wife is not even American? His wife is Israeli, which means his children are Israeli. So he is truly a foreigner. What's the problem, Ben? An American wasn't good enough for you? You had to marry someone from another country in another country? He had to move to Florida where there's all Jews there. He moved to a neighborhood. Of course, South Florida is all Jewish. What's the problem? You couldn't find an American woman? Couldn't get married in America? You didn't like Nashville?
Now, one of the things that is often pointed out, Nick has pointed out here that Shapiro seems to have strong in-group preference. He's married an Israeli rather than an American. He's chosen to live in an almost entirely Jewish community in Florida. And when people start to point out, well, hold on a second, where do your allegiances lie? They'll come out and they'll say, well, the problem is that's an anti-Semitic trope. That's a canard. It's a trope. It's a canard. What winds people up about saying that is It doesn't answer the question of, is it true? Is it true? Are these things true of Ben Shapiro, yes or no? It doesn't matter that it's a trope. If it's a trope, all that means is people have spotted this before and have written it down. That's all a trope is. It's a codification of, a set of patterns. So calling it, just simply saying that's a trope is not an answer. The question is it true? And in the case of Ben Shapiro, it does certainly appear to be true. Which brings us on to our next point, which is Shapiro's double standard on nationalism. Now, this is one of the longer clips I'm going to play, but Nick really gets cooking here, and you've got to let him cook.
And so for Israel, they're blood and soil nationalists, they're fascists. Ben Shapiro says all the Arab Muslims need to be picked up and kicked out of Israel because this needs to be a Jewish country for Jews. It has to be here. It has to be ethnically Jewish people living here. The state has to be Jewish. It's a Jewish nation. They're Jewish nationalists. God promised them that. But then those Jewish people come here. Ben Shapiro's ancestors come from Russia. Those people come here. And for America, they say, well, this place is for everybody. You're not promised anything. This place is not for Europeans. It's not for your ancestors. Maybe you have ancestors going back to the Mayflower or Jamestown. Maybe you have ancestors going back to the Revolution. That doesn't matter. You are owed nothing. You are not promised anything. Not the land. It's not yours. America's identity doesn't have to be European or Christian. No, see, all you're promised in America is the adventure of a lifetime, which means what exactly? The free market? So if you're hungry, if you don't have health care, if you're homeless, if you're a veteran, if you're disabled, if you're a struggling mother, if you're adopted, you know, whatever your problem is, well, you're not owed anything. You're not promised anything, and America won't take care of you. Because America isn't a community. It's not even really a nation. America's just a big jurisdiction where we all agree on the value of the U.S. dollar. Because what does a community have? A community has an identity. A community is coherent. There's a sense of family, familiarity. There is actually a sense of shared heritage, culture, religion, values. So let's get this straight. In Israel, they have free health care. In Israel, they're promised the land. Who? The Jews. Who is promised refuge and a home and opportunity and healthcare and security and prosperity and defense and a way of life and community? Jews are. They're promised a real nation. But Jews come to America and they say America isn't a nation. America isn't a community. It has no shared values, religion, identity, culture, anything. And you're not owed anything and you're not promised anything. If you can't afford a house, well, hey, man, buy a train ticket. Like a bum. Buy a train ticket or a bus ticket like a tramp.
The thing is, when Shapiro says that Fuentes makes no arguments, that he doesn't dignify a comeback, that he makes no logical points. All of that is rubbish. You just have to listen to the guy to see that he is making coherent points. The points he's making land because they are true. The points he is making land because people are struggling in America. And this dipshit is telling them they don't even deserve to live in their own hometown. Of course people are going to listen to somebody who's telling them the truth. And why is it that Shapiro has this double standard? And if he has such a love for this other country, the biggest question of all is, why doesn't he just go and live there? Why does he feel it his duty to stay in America and tell Americans that they can't have these things? which actually comes down to the next point, which is expecting Americans to pay for his welfare, that Shapiro's welfare, while denying Americans theirs, right? So all the welfare for Israelis, none of the welfare for actual Americans. Again, there's another longer clip. I have to let it play so the point really lands.
So maybe you could say that's a double standard, but it gets better. It's not just that Israel is going to be a community and a nation with blood and soil, and they get to do these things, and America doesn't. They have one set of values for Israel, another set of values for America. Here's the best part. They expect the American government to take care of Israel, but not Americans. So if a New York City, if someone who was born in New York City says, I want the government to help me, Ben Shapiro says, you're an ingrate, you're entitled. You're only entitled to opportunity. But when Israel's in trouble, they're entitled to help from the U.S. government. If you're an American and you say, I want the government to help me, you're an ingrate, you're a spoiled brat, you're entitled, you're a millennial. But when Israel's in trouble and says, I need the American government to help me, Ben Shapiro says, you better give them the missiles. You better give them the foreign aid or Israel's. That's the part that people really hate. The double standard is obvious. It's offensive. It's hypocritical. It's insulting. That's where people say, take your dual loyalty and go home. But to add to it, what makes it truly reprehensible, what makes it truly disgusting, they're not happy with the double standard. To add insult to injury, they want America to pay for their ethnostate. America will have no community. America will have no nationhood. America has no right to an identity, a sense of belonging, a sense of looking after one another. The government has this sort of role. And Israel does. No, our government will also help them. So they have their nation and ours. God promised them the land. God promised them their ethnostate. And God promised them American aid. God promised them that America's going to pay for it. So Shapiro, with his Israeli wife, Israeli kids, his Israeli loyalties, he's got one set of standards for Israel and another for us. And at the same time is going to use his citizenship to lobby for welfare for Israel, but not for Americans. For Americans, he says, get lost, buy a bus ticket, get a job. For Israel, he says, think of the hostages, think of the Jews.
Now, for some reason, some pro-Israeli kind of Zionist voices still watch this channel. I don't know why. I've made my stance clear for a very long time. But if you are watching this and you still, you know, want to try to persuade anybody of your point of view, why is it that Shapiro expects Americans to pay for his welfare while denying Americans theirs? Why does he deny at the why are both of those things important? Why does he interfere on the domestic front as well as extracting wealth and resources for his people? If this is any other group, you'd call it Gibbs. You'd call it sectional ethnic interests against everybody else. That's what it looks like to me. What's the justification for this? For those of you who insist that these people are beyond criticism, that you can't ever point this out, what is the reason for this obscene double standard and hypocrisy? It's one thing to extract resources for your own people. It's quite another to actively deny resources to other Americans as well. Which actually brings us to the next point, which is a big point of Fuentes's, which is the question as to whether Ben Shapiro really is American at all. Because he seems to exhibit, time and again, and this is something that Tucker Carlson said as well, outright hatred of Americans. He really does seem to despise his fellow countrymen. Which starts to make more sense if you consider that they're not really his fellow countrymen. But anyway, let's watch Nick again, and then we'll come back.
How much do you have to actually hate a group of people to do this to them? Seriously. Josh Hammer, who used to work for Daily Wire, says Europeans have anti-Semitism in their DNA. Mark Levin said the same thing. How much do you have to hate a people to live among them, thinking they hate you, but going and telling them, we're your closest ally, you need us, you got all your ideas from us. You don't deserve anything. You're not entitled to anything, but you have to keep paying for our country. How much do you have to hate a people to do this? Josh Hammer lives in a white country. America comes from the Europeans. Those were the settlers, the founders, the framers. Josh Hammer lives here among white people, and yet he thinks white people hate him in his DNA. But yet he gained influence here. He married someone from Israel, and he uses his influence to browbeat us and tell us, you have no identity. You didn't invent anything. You're horrible people in your bones, but you have to give us all your money and fight our wars for us.
And now, and in fact, we've got 2 points in a row here, because the one clip embodies two different points. And this is where we start getting to the sensible center-left stuff. When I say sensible center-left, simply a rejection of free market fundamentalism, this kind of cartoonish, ruthless, selfish, Ayn Rand nonsense individualism that Shapiro espouses. Because Nick says, we don't live in an open market, we live in a nation. And in a nation you have societal obligations, and the government needs to look after people. Shapiro has a ruthless denial of social obligations. He seems to resent the very idea of social obligations between the government and the people that they rule over. Now, to me, Fuentes is very sensible in this and very passionate in this segment. I'm going to let him cook again, and then I'm going to come back, draw out some other things.
If you're an American, I actually do believe that we have a community here. We have a nation. I disagree. You do have a right, at the minimum, to live where you grew up. You do have that right. New York City should be for the rich and for the poor. It should be for the rich and for the workers. It has to be. How could New York City exist without busboys? How could it exist without cab drivers? How could it exist without hotel workers? And where are those people going to live? They're going to go and live across the bridge. They're going to go live somewhere else. We're going to have billionaire island, millionaire and billionaire island. What do those people even make? They're going to work in insurance, real estate, and finance. And all the slaves can go live in the slaves' quarters and commute on violent buses and violent public transit? It's insane. That's insane. Of course, the cities are where the jobs are. That's where the opportunity is. And yes, the cities should be made affordable for everybody. There should be affordable public transit. There should be affordable public services. Affordable housing. You are entitled to that. Just as the Jews feel entitled to live in Israel, New Yorkers are entitled to live in New York. Chicagoans are entitled to live in Chicago. Angelenos are entitled to live in LA. And yes, the government should take care of those people. Society should take care of its constituent members. We do not live in an open market. We live in a nation.
So when I've talked about sensible center-left, this is what I'm talking about, okay? This passion that Nick has for his own country, for his own people, for his own cities, and the people who were born and grew up in those cities. When people stand on the right and deny those things, they are literally just doing the bidding of a Ben Shapiro who actively hates America. And I would warrant that he hates this country as well. what's the counter to any of the things that Fuentes said? Why should the government have a view that, you know, if somebody's struggling, then they can't have a little leg up? They can't, you know, why should they be just left to wreck and ruin, to the ravages of the market? Oh, your company's gone under. The industry's gone. Hard cheese. You're out of luck. There's no work. You've got to go and beg and be a tramp. Welfare systems were set up in this country and in America for the people of this nation. They were set, first and foremost, they were set up to help the people in this nation and the people over in that nation. Just because it's been abused, just because things haven't worked out with mass immigration, largely thanks to the ideology of Ben Shapiro, by the way, and various other ills, most of which are down to the ideology of Ben Shapiro, just because it didn't work out doesn't mean the fundamental idea didn't arise in the first place from a genuine problem that existed. If you have a look at the history of capitalism, even F.A. Hayek, writing in the 50s and the 60s and the 30s, said, look, we have to have some sort of safety net here. My mate, Joseph Schumpeter, talking about creative destruction, when Schumpeter wrote that, he wasn't saying it was a good thing. He was saying that this is inevitably going to lead to the collapse of capitalism and the inevitability of socialism. Because the whirlwind that creative destruction brings too much destitution, too much poverty, too much unemployment. It uproots people from their homes. It damages communities. It wrecks social cohesion. We didn't even have to, even before Schumpeter, Carlyle, in all of these books, is talking about exactly the same problem. Nomadism. The cash nexus. So when I say I'm sensible centre-left, I'm talking about all of this. And if you think that Fuentes is speaking for the majority of right-wingers, that is just not the case. There's still a lot of work when it comes. And honestly, I find more sensible voices, more people willing to listen, coming from an anti-market position in the first place. So anyway... I mean, anti-market is probably putting it a bit strong, but there has to be something that talk to these social obligations, the social bonds that Carlyle talks about, that have been ravaged and wrecked. And Shapiro has such disdain, such hatred in his heart for the very notion of it. For the very notion of it. Anyway, there's one more point. It's a really important point. Acting, so this is still on Shapiro. Shapiro's gall, the chutzpah, you could say, of acting as a moral authority and as a gatekeeper for the GOP, despite all of this, despite his obvious hatred for the American people, Shapiro still deigns to sit as a moral authority telling those American people what they can and cannot do. Let's play the clip from Fuentes and we'll come back.
I guess the Jews in Israel should get lost. Seems like it's pretty expensive to set up a country in the Middle East that we're always having to defend it all the time. Why don't you get lost? You don't want to live in America because of anti-Semitism? Gee, maybe you should stop blaming the world and start blaming yourself. Stop blaming a system and start asking, what did you do wrong? Oh, you don't like living in America? Man, maybe you should go and live in Israel, because, you know, the world's really about opportunity. We don't owe you anything. This is the part where people really see what's going on. And this is happening at the same time that they want to gatekeep the Republican Party. Ben Shapiro wants to claim the moral authority to gatekeep the GOP. And by the way, what is the GOP? It's the conservative party, the party that is tasked with conserving our nation, our people, our culture, our traditions, our heritage. Shapiro wants to gatekeep the conservative movement. He doesn't care about anything or anyone here. He doesn't want to conserve it. You don't like New York? Yeah, well, I don't know. Go somewhere else. Oh, it's unaffordable? Ah, yeah, well, you know, go work on an oil rig. You got to uproot and leave your community where your grandparents and great-grandparents live, where your ancestors are buried. You've been there for 100 years? Yeah, I don't know, man. Get lost. Times are changing. This guy hates you, hates our country. He's not American in any meaningful sense of the word. And that's what people hate. Simultaneously, having no allegiance to this country, basically hating and having outright contempt for its people, but also claiming to be our moral betters and our gatekeepers and the right to lecture all of us all the time, that's the part that people really have a problem with. That's your Republican Party, missiles for Israel, but if you can't afford a house, get lost. Yeah, well, good luck with that, Ben.
How is Nick wrong here? He's not. It winds me up. It winds every single right-thinking person up that this dipshit thinks he can have such contempt for Americans and then still tell them what to do and tell them what they can and cannot say and guilt trip them and cancel them and gatekeep their institutions. How about fuck off, Shapiro? Like Tucker said, he's cooked. He is done. So how about just going now? Because people see what you are. They see how much contempt you hold for them. And that message is not going to win any elections. It's not going to land with anyone younger than the age of about 60. It hasn't been lost on people that Mark Levin is 68 years old. And boy, does he appear as the out-of-touch boomer. There's a massive wake-up call coming for that entire generation and class of people. And it's going to come from the right and from the left. From the right, from the sort of stuff Fuentes is saying here, and it's going to come from the anarchist-barians and all of the other people who've just had enough of this bullshit that Shapiro is trying to sell us. Number 9 is Matt Walsh is a traitor.
And I saw Matt Walsh, who works for this little guy. Ben Shapiro. He got in a little debate with Sneeko. And Sneeko is what he is. He's a Muslim. He defends Haiti. He defended Zohran Mamdani. And Matt Walsh likes to pivot to that. He says, well, Sneeko's brown. Sneeko's Muslim. Sneeko's a third worldist. Yeah, and you know what, Walsh? All those things are true. What's your excuse? You're right, Matt. Sneeko is Muslim. You're right. Sneeko is Haitian. He is non-white. What's your excuse? Here's the difference. Sneeko is taking his own side. Sneeko is Haitian. He speaks up for Haitians. Sneeko is Muslim in part because he's influenced by Malcolm X. And Sneeko's part black. He's taking his own side. And you could say what you want about that. But in principle, he's loyal to his people. What's your excuse? Enough with the deflection. Enough running cover for Israel while heaping disdain on brown people. We all see what you're doing. Matt Walsh, as much as you beat your chest about being American and being white and being Christian, you are a cuck for a Jewish Zionist who hates Christ, who doesn't like Europeans, and isn't loyal to America. And he signs your paychecks and you work for him. And you say you're personally loyal to him? You are the biggest joke, cuck, traitor, embarrassment to our people there is. What's your excuse?
This is a really important point from Fuentes about Walsh. I have said for a long time that the problem with Walsh is that he's like a siren. He'll just say enough base things to keep people on the reservation. But what he's actually doing is acting as a siren call. As you know, he's like a Pied Piper bringing people into Daily Wire. he is acting as a kind of homing beacon for Daily Wire to get people trapped in this snake oil that is being sold by his boss. So Walsh will say enough things to keep enough traffic coming to the site, coming to Daily Wire content, money in the coffers. But that money is then used to do all of this bullshit. There's more on Walsh, because Shapiro says that Walsh is a bigger problem than Shapiro, because traitors are bigger problems than an enemy. A traitor is a bigger problem than an enemy. Now, you'd think this would be an easy point to get through people's skulls, but they just can't do it. I've spent the past 2 years, 3 years, trying to get this idea into people's heads, and it's like talking to a brick wall. People talk about IQ rates. I swear that so-called patriots and right-wingers don't, I mean, double digit, single digit. How can't you get this point? I'm going to play the clip again.
But Matt Walsh is the real problem. Shapiro is what he is. I think he should be humanely deported to Israel. He should be humanely and comfortably deported to Israel. Matt Walsh, you need to be put under the jail. Because understand, Daily Wire, Shapiro's company, it's made up of Shapiro, Klavan, Knowles, and Walsh. And the only thing keeping them afloat is Matt Walsh and Michael Knowles, two Catholic, relatively pro-white American guys. If it wasn't for them, people would see it for what it is. If it wasn't for them, you could not conceal that it was a pro-Israel outfit. You could not conceal that it's basically the foreign press. So he's not just, it's not just that he's not on our side, he's given cover for the enemy. And so that's why this guy is really the linchpin. It's really the traitors that are the problem.
So there it is. He said it all. As far as I'm concerned, unless Matt Walsh leaves Daily Wire, disavows Ben Shapiro, says, I am done with all this, I regret working for this Zionist shill, okay, and I repent, what's the point? Don't big up, don't retweet Matt Walsh. Don't treat him as a friend. Don't pretend that he secretly he's based or some bullshit until he leaves. Until he says, I am done with Zionism. That's what has to happen across the board, in every institution. Every person needs to come to their own, I almost said come to Jesus moment, but then I remembered, I'm not a Christian, so I can't really say that. But you know what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying, right? They need to have a realization that you can't work with these people. You can't work under these people. You can't put yourself in a position where you can be cancelled by these people. Because these people, by which I mean the Ben Shapiros of this world, are your enemies. I'm not talking about every single person from that background. Sure, there are good ones and bad ones, just like in any other large group of people. I'm talking specifically about institutional Zionism of this nature. And the way it operates, like a mafia. Until people call it out, until people stand up to it, as long as people are cowering in fear for these clowns, they will get away with it. So you have to grow a spine. And it has to start from the top. And at the moment, the top is somebody like Matt Walsh. In fact, the top is J.D. Vance and Donald Trump. That's the actual top. If people like Kevin Roberts apologise, what's happened since Kevin Roberts' apology, by the way? People have resigned from the board. Has nobody ever seen a cancellation before? Never apologise, because that is grist to the mill. They'll have you, and then they'll have you again, and then they'll have you again. I hope the Heritage Foundation crashes and burns and is never seen of or heard of again, and nobody remembers it in 10 years' time. It's deserved. Because you put yourself in a position where you are under these people. Do not give them power over you. They have no power over you. The power they have is you being frightened, of you being scared to speak out. Well, speak out. Now is the time. Anyway, those are my 10 points on why is it always the ones I get wound up on, I forget the bang pillow. Where's my bang pillow gone? See, I always forget it. It's too late now.
If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.